We're going to be discussing lesson 7 this evening, a study of authority on the work of the church, in particular evangelism as the work of the church. And in particular, we're going to be looking at your outline questions this evening. So as we begin this evening, Joey, could I ask you to direct our minds in prayer, please?
Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for all the blessings of this life. We are grateful for the freedom that we enjoy in this land so that we can come together any time of our choosing and study your word. We pray, Father, that you would bless us in our efforts to learn more of your will. That we would have the commitment and resolve, mind, Father, to apply these lessons to our lives. Help us always, Father, to keep your will first and foremost in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, does everyone have, hope everyone has the questions on lesson 7 this evening? And for a few moments before we begin our questions on lesson 7, I'd like to, I should mention that if you don't remember, Mickey is away at a gospel meeting. This week he is conducting a meeting in Paragould, Arkansas. And Saturday he's leaving for Mountain Home, Arkansas. And he's scheduled to return next week. If memory serves me correctly, I think on Thursday next week. So let's keep Mickey in our prayers and his efforts in Paragould and Mountain Home, Arkansas. Okay. If I wanted, to cite a verse that teaches that there are those who can be and will be plucked out of the kingdom, what would I cite? Matthew 13:41-42. Very good. Very good. And if I wanted to cite a verse that teaches that whatever we do, we must have authority. Whatever we do in word or deed, we must have scriptural authority. Which verse would I cite?
Colossians 3:17.
And if I wanted to cite a verse that talks about when we speak, that we must speak as the oracles of God, what scripture would I cite? Emily. Can't remember. Let's see. Who can help her out?
1 Peter 4:11.
Okay. That if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If I wanted to go to scripture that talked about what Uzzah did, what scripture would I go to? Is it 2 Chronicles 26?
No, that's Uzziah.
That's Uzziah. Now the names are very similar. Uzzah and Uzziah. Okay. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Very good. Verses 1 through 10, 1 through 11, right in there. Okay. And if I wanted to cite scripture that teaches that the church is the house of God and the support and pillar and ground of the truth, Daniel, where would I go? We studied that one a lot last Wednesday night.
1 Timothy.
1 Timothy, that's right. Chapter 3 and verse what? 50? 15. Okay. Okay, 1 Timothy 3 and 15. Okay. Okay, let's turn over now to our outline questions. This is at the point where Mickey left off in class last week, and he left off with making the point that in years past that there are many in the church who were accused of not believing in church or congregational cooperation. But we believe in scriptural cooperation, not unscriptural cooperation. We had a lot to say and discuss about that last week in terms of the pattern regarding evangelism that's revealed in the New Testament, how local congregations, how the church in Philippi, how the church in Thessalonica, how the church in Jerusalem conducted their work of evangelism. Okay. Now, oh, it's blank up there, isn't it?
Is it?
Okay.
Want the questions or do you want the scripture reads?
Let's go back up to reading the text. Okay. Now, this first scripture here, where you fill in the blanks, but if I tarry long, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in thee. In the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And what text is that, Danny? 1 Timothy 3:15. Okay. Now, question number two, or fill in the blanks, number two, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as where?
Antioch.
And what scripture is that?
Acts
11 and 22. And what's notable? What's also notable about this story in Acts 11, A little further down from verse 22, that what were they called first in Antioch?
Christians.
Okay. Number three. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And how would we fill in the rest of that?
For your fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel.
Okay. From the first day until now. And who did Paul write that to? The Philippians. And where was Paul when he wrote to the Philippians? He was in prison. Very good, Linda. He was in prison. And that is Philippians, what? Chapter 1? Verses 3 and 5. Okay. And number 4, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and Sarah, do you have the rest of that? Let's see. Amy, do you?
No, I don't get that.
Okay. Okay, who has the rest of number 4? Randy?
It doesn't exactly read the same in the New American Standard.
Yeah, because Mickey uses the American Standard Version. He's using King... No, that's right. He's using King James. Yeah, we can see that from 1, can't we?
Philippians 2:25, but I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need.
Okay. And what scripture is that?
Philippians
2:25. That's Philippians 2:25. Now, all of these verses up here, These are all extremely important verses to have down and to know, to remember. They establish the scriptural pattern for the work of evangelism. Okay, and number 5. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel no church, what? Okay. Shared with me concerning what? No church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Okay. Okay, and that is Philippians 4, and in particular, verse 15. Now, number 6, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the what? Okay. All the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you
overseers.
And you know, last week we were studying the pattern about that we find in the New Testament about evangelism, about the authority that a local congregation has to support a preacher, or the authority that a local congregation has to send out and support a preacher in another area. beyond the borders of the local congregation, or several congregations supporting a preacher. In a different geographical area. And then we have these questions. Did it get hot? Okay. Then we have these questions. In our material, these questions get inserted. Seems like maybe it kind of changes subjects, but we got a couple of questions here about elders. And what? Why do we have these questions about elders here? What does the subject of elders have to do with the work of evangelism?
It shows who oversees it, the work of evangelism, and it shows where their authority stops.
Okay, doesn't it? It demonstrates where in the pattern for the work of evangelism, where does the authority of an eldership stop? As David put it, at the borders of the local congregation, at the work that that local congregation conducts. Right? Randy?
Well, that's including preachers that have been set out.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, we take heed therefore unto yourselves, unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And feed the flock of God, which is what?
Among you.
Taking the oversight thereof, and what scripture is that? 1 Peter 5 and 2. Now, and the last one, the last question here, or fill in the blanks, I should say, we have one regarding the authority to support a preacher, don't we? Even so hath the Lord ordained that... Is it Jonathan Hines? Do you have that one?
Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live with the gospel.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 9:14.
1 Corinthians 9:14. Okay, are there any questions before we move on? Any questions about these eight fill-in-the-blanks here? Okay. Now, we're going to start to apply our the scriptures that we've discussed within the lesson material in lesson 7 here. What is the organizational structure of a local church? What do you read about that a local church was made up of? Randy? Yeah, the saints, including bishops and deacons. Deacons are last, Richard.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The reason I said it that way is because it differentiates between the clergy and the laity. Churches is saints, including
right.
the
overseers. That there, right. That there is no such thing as a clergy and a laity. There is no such thing as a laity and a priesthood, if you will, a laity versus a priesthood. Because the Scripture establishes that all Christians are part of the priesthood, correct? Okay. And I think in some versions there, and bishops or the word elders may be used also. So, local congregation is made up of saints, including bishops and deacons. And we read of nothing else throughout the Scripture in the New Testament. Nothing else whatsoever. What is the extent of oversight of elders? The flock which is among you. So, the extent of oversight is the local congregation. Now, isn't another way of saying that the local congregation, isn't another way of saying that each congregation is autonomous? Okay.
Autonomous is an interesting Greek word because it's just made up of two Greek words, auto and nomos, which simply means self-law. In other words, auto means self.
Right.
Like automobile that moves by itself. And nomos just means law. So it's self-law.
Self-law. So, it's interesting what kind of conclusions you can come to when you do delve into the meanings of the words. You can see what is being taught actually right out of the definition of the word. That each congregation is self-governing. Okay. Now, let's list three examples, three churches that we read about in New Testament Scripture that were examples of conducting their work of evangelism. What three churches can we cite as examples? One, for instance, maybe more, I've forgotten myself, but yeah, one we had in the fill in the blanks.
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. And what chapter in Acts? 11:22. What did, let's everyone turn there to the 11th chapter of Acts. And let's notice in particular what's said. Let's notice starting in verse 19 that those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. So we see the gospel going out here after the starting with this persecution that arose over Stephen, and then when the news of these conversions reached the church in Jerusalem, what happened? They sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Well, what does that mean when the Scripture says they sent out Barnabas? Did they just send him on a trip? Or let's take a look and Let's notice in verse 23, and when he, Barnabas, came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. And what did he do? He encouraged them all with a purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. And then we have a description of Barnabas in verse 24. And it says, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So clearly, Barnabas was doing what here? He was preaching, wasn't he? A great many people were added to the Lord. So the church in Jerusalem sent out Barnabas preaching. Okay? So we see here an example of the work of evangelism on the part of the church of Jerusalem. Randy?
I just had an aside to throw in.
Okay.
We first introduced to Barnabas in Acts chapter 4, verse 36.
Mm-hmm.
His real name was Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement.
That's right, son of encouragement.
His name was Joseph, but they called him Barnabas because he was encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they sent him, because he was very encouraging.
And what did Paul, after all, write to Timothy? In what, 2 Timothy chapter 4? What is the work of an evangelist? That to preach the word, to reprove, rebuke, and what? And exhort? Isn't that what Barnabas was also doing here? That he encouraged them all with that with purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. Okay. Now, okay, let's think of a second example, Richard.
Now joined himself to the church in Antioch, along with Paul, who mm-hmm. went after, in the verse right after we've just been talking here, brought him back to Antioch. They joined themselves to the church in Antioch, and then the church in Antioch sent them out.
Mm-hmm. I believe Carolyn, a few moments ago, mentioned the church at Antioch. So the church at Antioch sent them out. Actually, we could probably, that's true. I didn't write that one down. We could come up with four here. Anyway, but in our fill-in-the-blanks, we also had, Joe?
Philippians,
the church at Philippi, right? And what was, what did Paul write to the Philippians in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 5? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So he was thanking them for their participation, their joint participation in the gospel. And what congregation described in the New Testament is described as, let's see, sounding out or sounding forth the word of God. What congregation can you think of in, I'll give you a hint, first what? First Thessalonians. About the first what, David? 9 or 10 verses of chapter 1? 3 through 8, okay. Okay. David, you want to read those if you have them there?
God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you.
we always thank God for you, all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work, product produced by faith, and your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Christ, Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. You know how we live among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and the Lord, and in spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given to the Holy Spirit. You became a model of all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you come to God from idols to serve the living and true God.
Okay, very good. Okay, so for question three, we've identified as examples the church in Jerusalem, the church in Antioch, church in Philippi, and the church in Thessalonica. Now, can a local church today select and send out a man to preach the gospel? List the passage. No, we just just did. Yeah, you could cite Acts 11:22, Acts 11:19 through about verse 25-26 or so, that whole section of Scripture, which describes what Barnabas did after being sent out by the church in Jerusalem. And Antioch sending out Paul and Barnabas. Okay. Now, question number five. Discuss how the church sent to the preacher in the New Testament pattern. Okay, so that's what these three parts of the question are supposed to accomplish. Is there a pattern involved in this work? Is there a pattern? I mean, in other words, if you think about the examples in the New Testament, how they supported a preacher, is there a pattern? Randy?
The word support is missing from the question.
Just says sent to the preacher. Sent what?
Discuss how the church sent support to the preacher.
Okay. Discuss how the church sent to the preacher. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
How's that? Like it just suddenly appeared. Can you imagine?
Magic.
Who's in charge here?
So there is a pattern. If we think about the examples, Randy?
The pattern is directly. The church sends support directly to the preacher.
Okay, so you're answering part B also. If so, what is found in the pattern? That it is sent directly to the preacher from where? Okay, from the church. Chris?
Directly to the elders.
No.
No.
To the preacher. Okay, let me illustrate something here. Well, okay, we support.
We're talking about the preacher.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I was on the network. Sorry.
And And hold that thought when we get to lesson 8. Okay. But actually, to finish an example of the work here at Fifth Street East, for instance, we support Galen Evans at the Buena Ventura congregation. Okay? Now, when we write out the check that goes over there, it's not made out to Buena Ventura Church of Christ. It's made out to Galen Evans. Okay? Directly from a local congregation to the preacher, to the evangelist. What is not found in the pattern? Remember, the pattern is direct from the local congregation to the preacher. What is not? What is never found in the pattern? Joey? Okay. Any evidence of a middleman. Why do you suppose that would be?
Well, I mean, I think we could speculate and say that this would be the most efficient way to get funds to a preacher, but that's why God chose this method.
Well,
all those are reasons, and not surrendering autonomy and all that, but isn't it true that what we see in the Scriptures is that Christ has, God has done what? Establish one and only one organization. Isn't that correct? And that is known as the church. No other organizations or organization in addition to the church has ever been established. And that's the way to think about this subject and remember it. As Joey said, there is no middleman. There is never an additional organization beyond the church. David? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As well as them already doing something unscriptural anyway.
Kind of like the example that Mickey brought up of the fellow who's quoted as saying, what? I know how to preach, I know how to farm, and I don't intend to farm. We know where his loyalties were. Bruce and then Joey. Right.
And also sponsoring church.
Missionary societies, sponsoring churches, benevolent societies, even though we're not on that subject. So on and so forth. And I'm sure there are a number of variations on all those themes by now. Joey?
Mm-hmm. To have the idea that, well, you know, I'm in an administrative role here and I deserve to take a percentage of this.
Well, that can happen.
He's part of the work and he is also serving of 10 or 20% of this money that's flowing. And again, that gets into the efficiency question. God's
but
always perfectly efficient in everything that he commands. There's no inefficiencies or waste that he ever approves of.
Again, the way to always remember the pattern is that there is no organization in addition to, over and above, beyond the church. The church is one and only. Randy?
In Matthew 15:13, Jesus said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up." It's the principle.
It's the principle, yes.
Because we're talking about plants that God didn't plant.
That's true. So what is not found in the pattern, there is no intermediary organization, there is no conduit. The money never passed through some other organization. There was no organization, other organization other than the church ever existed in New Testament times. Okay, now number six, we were asked to think. A local church may send out a preacher, passage. Well, okay, we've been over Acts chapter 11 twice here already this evening, but it may support a preacher either at home, the local congregation, or in another area. Okay, now cite a passage for that.
Philippians 4:16.
Okay. Second Corinthians chapter 11 is what you're thinking of, Dave. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 9:14 also. But and thirdly, it may send to a preacher at the same time other churches are sending to him. What passage would you go to for authority for that kind of, if you will, scriptural cooperation between congregations? But each congregation, though, they're not sending their respective funds through some sponsoring church, as was mentioned. Each congregation is sending directly to that man. Now, what passage of Scripture would you cite as an example of that? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 8 and 9. What did Paul write to the Corinthians there? That what did he do to other churches? He robbed other churches. Okay. Okay. Is there any other scriptural way the church, the local church, can do its work of evangelism insofar as supporting a preacher is concerned? Is there any other way? Now, I think what Mickey means by that question, I think what he's asking that question, is there any other way other than the New Testament pattern? And if you want to do all things, what? As Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. The word name there in Colossians 3:17 coming from the Greek word namos, meaning by the authority of. If you want to do all things according to the scriptural pattern by the authority laid out in the New Testament, there is no other way other than the pattern that you see in the New Testament. And again, that pattern being, there is that the pattern being direct from a local congregation to the preacher. No organization outside of the church. Okay. And again, in question 7, we're asked to think, can a local church send a preacher to a Catholic church to teach the truth regarding errors of Catholicism? What?
Not with Adam.
But didn't Paul continuously, you know, show the influence of the synagogues? And Paul, Paul's here to go.
And he taught them about the unknown God.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. He was there at the area on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17. Amongst the Stoics and the Epicureans. Thank you. Yes, and Richard, what were you going to say?
I was going to say also in Acts 19, Paul spoke to the people in Ephesus who had it wrong. They believed baptism of John only. They hadn't heard anything else, so they
right.
were in error. And he had been sent out by the church in Antioch
mm-hmm.
to preach the gospel.
Right.
So Barnabas and then went there to basically correct that. So
time up?
You're out of time.
Oh.
That would be a little bit different example because that's within the so-called Christian churches rather than some other religious
synagogues. Okay. Okay, we, God willing, we will pick up again and finish up question 7A. On Wednesday evening next week. Thank you very much.